I have been blessed, and all I can say is God has been good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears fall down like rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good.
God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessings may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Now there have been times that I've let Him down. I made my mistakes, but still I have found. I may stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good.
God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessings may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say,
God is still good.
walking along each day, and I feel along my way from all the pain and the trouble here below. But then one day, set me free, open my eyes so I could see my Jesus paid a debt for me. He did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe.
Back into a different passage than where we're going right now, but I want you to flip over to Jeremiah 37 for just a moment. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember that Sunday the miracle happened for me, salvation. I got that boy on my heart real hard and deep. Oh, please pray for that young man. He's going through something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Oh, please pray for that man.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
It's all right. The Lord's able to help him. He's able to do it, and he will, no doubt about it. Sometimes you may wonder, man, what is the Lord doing? And that's sort of where the Lord sort of directed our heart right now for this segment. I was actually going to be going into Jeremiah 38 and preaching about the where Jeremiah was thrown down in that cistern, in that well. But I believe the Lord just, I don't know, he nudged my heart right here. I want to focus in on one phrase right here in the Word of God in Jeremiah 37. You study this, Jeremiah was not a very... a prominent prophet. Nobody really liked him. As far as I know, you studied the book of, and the life of Jeremiah. He didn't have one convert that I can find. Yet, he's called the weeping prophet because he penned down the book of Lamentations as well. And all the way through, there's one thing about Jeremiah. He was faithful. He was consistent. He had a message, and it wasn't a popular message. It was a message that the people of God were going down into Babylonian captivity because of their sin. Jeremiah sure wouldn't make it in 2023. With all the popularity and the popularized preaching and just live as you please and do whatever you want to do and you'll still be fine. Well, Jeremiah was not one of those preachers. Jeremiah was one of those just put it gun barrel straight. And that's what we need more of today, by the way. But Jeremiah made this statement here we will look at here in just a second. When we look at Jeremiah about chapter 37 to chapter 39, what's happened is this. The Babylonian Empire and Nebuchadnezzar, they've come against Jerusalem to besiege it. They've surrounded the wall. They've cut out all the trade routes in and out. So basically they're trying to starve them out. If you go to chapter number 39, in the ninth year of King Zedekiah's reign, that's when Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem. That's when it started. And the walls didn't come down until the 11th year of his reign. So almost 2 years, the city laid besieged. So all the trade routes, you couldn't get food in the city, you couldn't get food out of the city, you couldn't do anything. The people were trapped on the inside. And Jeremiah had been consistent. He said, listen. He said, surrender. He said, it's the will of God that you go in to captivity, into punishment because of your sin. But the people would not heed to the warnings that God had laid out. As you read on a little bit further, Zedekiah, the last thing he saw, Brother T.R., was his sons being killed. They were slain. Then the king of Babylon put his eyes out. Imagine the last thing you see is the death of your sons, and then your eyes get put out. That's what happened. Why did he get in that shape, preacher? I'll tell you how. Because he disobeyed God. Wasn't that he didn't inquire? Zedekiah wanted to know, hey, can God help us? He got anything to say? Notice in the Bible here, and in the midst of this, in chapter 37, the context, Nebuchadnezzar has come up against Jerusalem. And what's happened is he has besieged Jerusalem, and they cut off those trade routes. But they hear that Egypt is going to come and help Zedekiah in Jerusalem. So as a result of that, Nebuchadnezzar's captains and bands, they sort of fall back because of fear that the Egyptian army is coming to help them. And the people thought, man, they finally left. They've left us alone. But Jeremiah said, no. They might have left, but they're going back into their homeland because Babylon is still coming up, and they're going to destroy this city. They're going to burn it with fire. And they cast him into prison. And after he's been in there several days, Zedekiah sent for him in Jeremiah 37, verse 17. Notice what he said. Well, look at verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, the reason he's there is for preaching the truth, giving the message that God had laid to him. But then in verse 17, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. Took him out of what? Took him out of the prison. And the king asked him secretly in the house and said, here it is. Is there any word from the Lord? He asked a question. This is one of the most well-known verses in all the book of Jeremiah. Zedekiah asked Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? Have you ever felt like that? You ever been in a situation? Ever been encountered with a problem? Is there any word from the Lord? How am I going to get out of this? What does the Lord say about this? And the most encouraging thing that you can find is God always has a word. For the Bible said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, I love these two words, there is. There is a word from the Lord. But understand, Jeremiah's message hadn't ever changed, Brother T.R. It was still a message of judgment. And Zedekiah said, hey, is there a message from the Lord? And he said, there is. If I could tell you anything this morning, I don't know exactly where we'll go from this point on in this service. But somebody might say, preacher, is there a word from the Lord? Just like Jeremiah said, there is. That will cover every aspect of your life. You say, well, preacher, things pretty good at my house. Well, to God be the glory, he's still got a word for you. You say, things are pretty tough at my house right now, preacher. Well, there's still a word from the Lord. There's a word that'll help you. When you think about this, we'll go through, and we've often used the illustration of the Christian life, and it's sort of like this. You're up one minute, you're down the next. It's sort of up and it's down. And when you're up, you better thank God for those up times. Because listen, there's some valley situations that'll come in your heart and in your life. But even in the midst of all that, thank God there's still a word from the Lord. I think about the psalmist in Psalm chapter number 121 and verse number 1. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. There's things that are beyond my reasoning. There's things that beyond my understanding, beyond my wisdom, beyond my understanding, Brother Ed. But understand this, there's a God in heaven that can speak to you and can give you help in your time of need, in your time of trouble. How many times sometimes do we come to the house of God and maybe we're running low on batteries, we're running low on energy, and boy, Brother Pope hit it out of the park last night talking about church being essential. I hope everybody, that wasn't just for the young people either. There's some middle-aged folk, hey, some senior adults need to understand and make commitment there that the church ought to be essential. Thank God it's a recharging station where you can come in, where the world beats you down. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe you're heartbroken. Listen, there's only certain things I can do. I'm limited because I'm a man, but I'm glad we can tap into a strength from another world, and the Lord can help you, and he can meet your need if you are troubled. I think I mentioned last night or maybe yesterday morning, a lot of folks say, well, hey, I don't have any trouble. Well, maybe you can tell us how you get by with it, because the Word of God said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that answers two things for me. That covers us all, because we were all born a woman and trouble is on the horizon. Well, I'm doing good, preacher. It's been well said. You're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go in one. And that's about right, ain't it? That's about the truth. That's the pattern that I showed you a moment ago. Sometimes you up, sometimes you down. Sometimes you up, sometimes you down. But here's the good news. You might get to the point and you say, man, I need some help, preacher. I don't know which direction to turn. Is there a message from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. You know, even in death, and here in just a little while, I've got to head back up the mountain up toward Wilkesboro. We got a funeral up there of a man that several years ago that witnessed to numerous times, Brother Evan Tay, his wife, dear saint of God. She passed away in 2006, had done her service, and she had prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And I asked the pastor yesterday, I said, listen, I said, did he ever get saved? And he said, well, I don't know. I really don't know him. I hadn't met him but two or three times. And boy, my heart just breaks. How in the world is there a message from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord on a situation like that? Well, listen, all I know is this. If he didn't know Jesus, he's in hell. Now, that's not good news, but that's the word from the Lord. But if he knew Christ, then thank God he has entered into the presence of the Lord. We think about 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. We're confident, I was saying, we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. How many times we use that passage, John 14, to those that are bereaved? And sometimes the preacher don't know what to say. Sometimes the singers can't hit the exact note that'll minister and help your heart when your heart is hurting. But I know this, you might be brokenhearted and bereaved today, and you say, preacher, is there a message from the Lord? Yes. There is. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I think about the psalmist, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, and the most important thing is this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? That's the key. Is he yours? Is there personal ownership involved? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you've not been left alone. You might be in a situation you don't understand, you can't figure out. You say, is there a message from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. But sometimes it's a message you may not want to hear. That's the way it was right here in Jeremiah's day. Zedekiah said, hey, is there a message from the Lord? You read on. Jeremiah said, hey, yeah, same thing I've been telling you all along. You're going down into Babylonian captivity. Don't fight against you. Might as well surrender to the will of God. But they refused and they refused and they refused. You think about this, does the Lord have a message to a lost person? Sure he does. Matter of fact, Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here today and maybe you've never been saved, maybe you don't understand about salvation, you don't get this thing about Jesus and what have you. Listen, understand that there is a message from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord unto you, because we've got to understand something. And it's not my opinion. It's not necessarily my belief. It's what the Word of God said. Somebody said a long time ago, they said, well, you know, the Bible said it, and I believe, and that settles it. That's wrong. Hey, the Bible says that settles it whether you believe it or not. But the Word of God said there's two destinations, and there's no way that you can monkey that up, no way you can misinterpret that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God talked about, Jesus said, there was a wide road that led to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads unto life. What's the difference? One man, and his name's Jesus. Jesus is that way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 6 lets us know that. We understand by Acts 4 and verse number 12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, how can you monkey that up? When God said, neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want to go to heaven, you've got to go God's way. Right. Well, preacher, is there a word from the Lord? And You know, I like doing my own thing. Well, listen, you might like doing your own thing, but it's time for you to take your hands off the wheel. It's like brother, sort of like what Brother Pope was talking about last night. And I hate these stickers, and they're still out there. I don't know why people make a fool of themselves and put them on the back of their car and says that the Lord Jesus by co-pilot. Man, you ought to take that off. When he's your co-pilot, you got your hand on the wheel. What you and I need to do is take our hands off and let him. But here's the problem. We have a problem with that. Because when he's got absolute control, Brother T.R., then we can't make our own decisions. Sometimes we may have to do things that we don't want to do. We might actually have to forgive somebody. Amen. We might actually have to show up at church when the doors are open. Amen. The church and Bible reading and prayer time will actually ought to be imported in my life. Yep. Might not be a message you want to hear. But understand this, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. In heaven or in hell. A lot of folks live for themselves down here and then they get in trouble and we're just trying, I don't know how to get by without saying this. You know, a lot of folks, you know, you see them grow up in church, Brother Evan, and you instruct them, you try to tell them, and you try to educate them along the way what God expects. They hear it, and then they make a decision, they go out. And maybe they come back in, and thank God they come back in 8 or 9 or 10 years later, but they come in all messed up. And listen, we'll receive them with open arms. Amen. God's in the habit of fixing broken lives, and we'll welcome them back in. But here's the key. If they'd have just listened and surrendered and submitted themselves under the will of God, they'd have never got in that shape. A lot of folks have asked me since I've been pastor down here, they say, preacher, why do you put so much emphasis on the young people? Because you better get them while they're early. Before they mar up their life. I understand it. You may be here, you may have walked in here today and you say, preacher, I've got stuff in my life I'm not proud of. Well, just join the crowd. I'm not preaching down to anybody, but understand this, if you're here today, there's nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot forgive you of. I'm glad if you'll come by faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that he died for you, and he did. Understand that he was buried, and he was. Understand that he rose again, never to die again, because he did. We don't serve a dead statue. We don't serve a dead stone. We don't serve a dead prophet. Thank God we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's alive and well. You say, preacher, how you know? He's alive. I just talked to him a while ago, and he's helping me right now this morning, because this is not what I come preaching on today, but God wants me to remind somebody that might have walked in here today and you're lost, you're on your way to hell. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. You can be set free. You can be saved. You can be changed. Condemnation can be removed through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said in Psalm 103 and verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, what does that mean? That means that the Lord can forgive us of all of our sin. Isaiah 1:18 said, come now. There's the invitation. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as red as wool. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What's that mean, preacher? You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. I remind you again, that news is every direction. N is north, E is east, W is west, S is south. N-E-W-S, that spells news. It covers every direction. That's the good news of the gospel. Whether you're saved, whether you're what your issue is today, doesn't matter your nationality, your race, your language, what you live, what you drive, doesn't matter if you're really a church goer or not, you just need to make sure you know Christ is your Savior. Because he can forgive you of all your sin. You look at this and I think about Zedekiah. Zedekiah asked Jeremiah, he said, is there a word from the Lord? He said, there is. You know, I think about this, Sister Savannah, you come on and that might hurry me up. It might not. I don't know, but we'll just go with it because I have no idea. I just know this. There's a message from the Lord from somebody today. You might come in here today and you say, preacher, you don't know what's in my past. And it don't matter. I don't care what's in your past. I can tell you this, Jesus can forgive you of all your sin. Does everybody understand that? A lot of times folks say, man, the preacher's too rough on people. No, the preacher just lays out the truth of the Word of God. And it may not be what you want to hear. The fact of the matter is, prior to salvation, we're dead. Trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, verse 1 makes that crystal clear. But you don't have to stay dead in trespasses and sins. Thank God you can be alive. You can have your sins forgiven today through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do, preacher, to be saved? Well, glad you asked, because the Bible said, Acts 16, verse number 30, the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It ain't rocket science. It ain't hard. It ain't complicated. Is there a message from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, He wants you to be saved. Can you mark that off? Do you know that there's a time where you've called on the name of the Lord? Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether you're young or whether you're old, can you go back to a time? And listen, I don't remember the exact date. I don't remember the exact date that I got saved. But I remember, I can still visually remember where I was at and the place where I called on the name of the Lord. I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It wasn't some eloquent prayer. I just understood that I was a sinner and I needed God. I understood for the first time in my life that if I didn't get saved, hell would be my home. But I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do, preacher? He saved my soul. Been saved ever since. Have I been perfect? Absolutely not, as nobody is. A lot of folks think they are, but they are not. Nobody is perfect. There's only one. His name was Jesus. But if you're here today, can you mark that off the box? Yeah, I'm saved, preacher. I know. Without a doubt, that's the greatest decision any person could ever make. And if you're not saved, there's a message from the Lord. The Bible said today is a day of salvation. Well, preacher, I'll get saved one day. I'll get saved this, that, and the other. I remember talking to the fellow that I'm doing the funeral for today over 15 years ago. Never had time. Man, I sure would love to have you come. Just ain't got time. Just ain't got time. Love for you to trust Jesus. Well, one day, preacher. One day, I'll give my heart and life to Jesus. I'll come one day. Well, that one day may never come. Keep kicking that can down the road if you're not saved. The Bible said right now, you better get saved right now if God's dealt with your heart. But if you come in here today and maybe you're hurting, preacher, I don't know what to do. Listen, I don't have all the answers. No man does. But I'm thankful we can get strength from another world. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're heartbroken. Maybe you're bereaved. Whatever the need may be. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. And this is what He said. You have not because you ask not. You want some help? You got to bring it to Him this morning as we stand all over the house. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.